ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಶ್ವ ಭದ್ರೇಶು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯ ಭಗವತೀರುತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಟಿಕೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 10 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 3 ದ ಬರ್ತ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಶ್ಲೋಕ ನಂಬರ್ 22. ಅಯಂ ತ್ವಸಭ್ಯಸ್ತವ ಜನ್ಮನೌ ಗೃಹೇ ಶ್ರುತ್ವಾಗ್ರಜಾಂಸ್ತೆ ನ್ಯವಧೀತ್ ಸುರೇಶ್ವರ ಸತೇವತಾರಂ ಪುರುಷೈ ಸಮರ್ಪಿತಂ ಶ್ರುತ್ವಾಧುನೈವ ಭೀಷರತ್ಯುದಾಯುಧಃ ಅಯಂ ತ್ವಸಭ್ಯಸ್ತವ ಜನ್ಮನೌ ಗೃಹೇ ಶ್ರುತ್ವಾಗ್ರಜಾಂಸ್ತೆ ನ್ಯವಧೀತ್ ಸುರೇಶ್ವರ ಸತೇವ ತಾರಂ ಪುರುಷೈ ಸಮರ್ಪಿತಂ ಶ್ರುತ್ವಾಧುನೈವಾಭಿಸರತ್ಯುಧಾಯುಧಃ. ಅಯಂ ತ್ವಸಭ್ಯಸ್ತವ ಜನ್ಮನೌ ಗೃಹೇ ಶ್ರುತ್ವಾಗ್ರಜಾಂಸ್ತೆ ನ್ಯವಧೀತ್ ಸುರೇಶ್ವರ ಸತೇವ ತಾರಂ ಪುರುಷೈ ಸಮರ್ಪಿತಂ ಶ್ರುತ್ವಾಧುನೈವಾಭಿಸರತ್ಯುದಾಯುಧಃ. Mataji's. Word-to-word meaning, I am this rascal to but asabhyaha who is not civilized at all. Asura means uncivilized and sura means civilized. Tava, of your lordship. Janma, the birth. Now, our. Grihe, into the home. Shrutva, after hearing. Agrajan, agrajante. All the brothers born before you. Nyavadhit, killed. Sura Ishvara, O Lord of the Suras, the civilized persons, Saha, he, that uncivilized Kamsa, Te, your avataram, appearance, Purushaihi, by his lieutenants, Samarpitam, being informed of, Shrutva, after hearing, adhuna, now, eva, indeed, abhisarati, will come immediately, udayudha, with raised weapons. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O my Lord, Lord of the demigods, after hearing the prophecy that you would take birth in our home and kill him, this uncivilized Kamsa killed so many of you, of your elder brothers. As soon as he hears from his lieutenants that you have appeared, he will immediately come with weapons to kill you. Purport. Kamsa has here been described as asabhya, meaning uncivilized, or most heinous, because he killed the many children of his sister. When he heard the prophecy that he would be killed by her eighth son, this uncivilized man, Kamsa, was immediately ready to kill his innocent sister on the occasion of her marriage. An uncivilized man can do anything for the satisfaction of his senses. He can kill children, he can kill cows, he can kill brahmanas, he can kill old men, he has no mercy for anyone. According to the Vedic civilization, cows, women, children, old men, and brahmanas should be excused if they are at fault. But asuras, uncivilized men, do not care about that. At the present moment, the killing of cows and the killing of children is going on unrestrictedly, and therefore this civilization is not at all human, and those who are conducting this condemned civilization are uncivilized asuras. Such uncivilized men are not in favor of the Krishna consciousness movement. As public officers, they declare without hesitation that the chanting of the Hare Krishna movement is a nuisance. Although Bhagavad Gita clearly says, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam Yatantascha Dridavrataha. According to this verse, it is the duty of the Mahatmas to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and try to spread it all over the world to the best of their ability. Unfortunately, society is in such an uncivilized state that there are so-called Mahatmas who are prepared to kill cows and children and stop the Hare Krishna movement. Such uncivilized activities were actually demonstrated in opposition to the Hare Krishna movement's Bombay Center Hare Krishna land, where we are sitting here. As Kamsa was not expected to kill the beautiful child of Devaki and Vasudev, the uncivilized society, although unhappy about the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement, cannot be expected to stop it. Yet, we must face many difficulties in many different ways. Although Krishna cannot be killed, Vasudev, as the father of Krishna, was trembling because in affection he thought that Krishna would immediately come and kill his son. Similarly, although the Krishna consciousness movement and Krishna are not different and no asuras can check it, we are afraid that at any moment the asuras can stop this movement in any part of the world. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroh Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunadhanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jayasri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Before I begin, I seek the blessings of all the senior devotees and all the devotees assembled here so that I can speak something meaningful on this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, the context that we are seeing today is Krishna appeared in the jail of Kamsa and Vasudev is offering prayers. So Vasudev is having confidence that Krishna is God, and hence he is aware of Krishna's greatness. So if you see, the prayers of Vasudev begin from shloka number 13. See, 13 begins with Shri Vasudeva Uvacha, And last many classes, the discussion has been about Vasudev appreciating Krishna's godhood. Vasudev appreciating Krishna's greatness, saying that how you are the supreme controller, you are transcendental, everything is under your jurisdiction. All the elements are under your control, and in various avatars you take various colors in various yugas. So Vasudev very exhaustively glorified Krishna's greatness. So after speaking all of that, after speaking all of Krishna's greatness, now suddenly in today's shloka what Vasudev is saying seems to be contradicting what he is saying. Because today's shloka what he is saying, as soon as he, that is Kamsa, hears from his lieutenants that you have appeared, he will immediately come with weapons to kill you. So Vasudev is here expressing his fear. Vasudev is here expressing his concern for protection of Krishna. How is it? What is the need to fear for Krishna's protection? I mean, what is the need to fear about Krishna? Because just now, till now, Vasudev spoke elaborately at length about Krishna's greatness. So I have been seeing the purports on this shloka from various sources. So it is explained that Vasudev is confident, Vasudev is having that understanding that Krishna cannot be harmed by anybody. Vasudev is having that much awareness that Krishna cannot be harmed. But Vasudev is having very intimate relation with Krishna. Vasudev is having very close love, very high intimacy, and very great love for Krishna. So even though Vasudev is confident that Krishna cannot be harmed, but his intimacy, considering Krishna as his son, considering Krishna as his own son, his own helpless son, impelled Vasudev to somehow speak this warning to Krishna, that Krishna, be careful, you may be harmed. You know, as soon as Kamsa comes to know that you are born, he will come to kill you. So the knowledge of Vasudev is covered over by his love for Krishna. So he has knowledge of Krishna's greatness as well as love for Krishna. So Vasudev is going through a mixture of both the feelings. So now Krishna has both. Krishna is great. Krishna is all powerful. Krishna is, omniscient. Krishna has very, very high powers. So depending on the advancement of a devotee, depending on how advanced or how intimate a devotee is for Krishna, they will either see Krishna's greatness or they will see Krishna's sweetness. Which means in the initial understanding of God is, God is great. However, when a devotee advances further and further and develops more and more love for Krishna and develops more and more intimacy with Krishna by progressing in through Navavidha Bhakti, his love for Krishna, when it is evolved, then the greatness is gradually, covered over by that intimacy which a devotee develops for Krishna. Jai Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari Bhagavan Ki, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shri Shri Nitai Gaur Chandra Bhagavan Ki. So just like it is explained that for pure devotee also, for pure devotees also, they have two sides of their personalities. They are Vajradapi Kathoram and Kusumadapi Komalam. So when required, a pure devotee can be vajradapi katoram. He can be as hard as a thunderbolt. And when it comes to dealing with other devotees, they are kusumadapi komalam. They are as soft as a petal of a flower. So this aspect is exhibited by Krishna also, which means Krishna has both the aspects. Krishna is great and Krishna is sweet. Depending on who is seeing Krishna, depending on how one is approaching Krishna, a particular aspect is perceived. So we see in Krishna's pastimes, one very venomous snake, one very envious snake was living in a kind of pond created by Yamuna River. And the name of that snake is Kaliya. So this Kaliya carried great envy within the heart. This Kaliya carried great dvesh for Krishna. So because of the poison emanated by Kaliya, one day all the cowherd boys and all the calves which went to drink that water, they kind of lost their lives. So Krishna decided to teach a lesson to Kaliya. Krishna decided to take away Kaliya's pride. So climbing on a kadamba tree, Krishna jumped on the river Yamuna. So when Krishna jumped into Yamuna river, Kaliya was very disturbed. Kaliya could not tolerate that. And later on, releasing himself from the hoods of from the coils of Kaliya, Krishna jumped on the head of Kaliya, on the hoods of Kaliya. So there it is explained that whichever hood of Kaliya was raising, in order to attack Krishna, Krishna used his lotus feet to jump on that particular hood and subdue that particular hood which is raising, out of anger to attack Krishna. So how was that lotus feet perceived by Kaliya? That lotus foot was perceived by Kaliya as thunderbolt. It was as hard as thunderbolt. With every step, which Kaliya was getting on his head, Kaliya was finding it so difficult to bear the force, difficult to bear the attack. It felt as if one foot of Kaliya was one foot of Krishna was appearing like thunderbolt. So this is how Kaliya perceived Krishna, right? Kaliya perceived Krishna as being very heavy, as being very difficult to bear. And that same lotus feet of Krishna is addressed by the devotees of Vrindavan. When Krishna is going to herd the cows, the devotees of Vrindavan, they are offering a prayer. Chalasiyad vraja charayan pashun nalina sundaram nathate padam shilatrinankurai sidati tinaha kalilata manaha kshobhayantihi. So the devotees of Vrindavan, they are saying, Chalasiyadvraja charayan pashun. O Krishna, when you are going into the forest, chalasi, when you are walking into the forest, charayan pashun, in order to graze the cows, in order to herd the cows, nalina sundaram natha te padam, your feet is so soft. And they are expressing their concern, they are expressing their fear that Krishna, what will happen to your lotus feet? Because shila trina ankurai, shilas are the pebbles, the stones and pebbles which are there on the path, and Sometimes there are thorns and sometimes there are no leaves which are hard. So even if, you know, pebbles touch your foot, no, they are feeling very afraid that what will happen to your feet? No, your lotus feet, which are so soft, they can get, hurt. Even if a pebble touches Krishna's lotus feet, they consider, that Krishna will get hurt. So Krishna's lotus feet and the tender limbs of Krishna, they are compared to soft like butter. Even if you touch it, it becomes, reddish. It gets hurt. So you can see the difference in the vision of, Kaliya, how Kaliya saw, Krishna's lotus feet, and how the Vrajavasis are seeing Krishna's lotus feet. Kaliya saw Krishna's lotus feet as thunder and as if attack on him, while the Vrajavasi saw Krishna's lotus feet as very tender. So it depends upon the vision. It depends upon how one sees Krishna. So if somebody is demoniac, then Krishna may exhibit his powers to subdue them. But if somebody loves Krishna and somebody surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna exhibits his sweetness. So spiritual progress is, first of all, to acknowledge the existence of God. Most people in the world do not even acknowledge the existence of God. So spiritual life begins with acknowledging the existence of God. And after acknowledging the existence of God, first accept the greatness of God. Understand the greatness of God, and then gradually develop one's understanding about the sweetness of God. So that's how spiritual progress, is gradually obtained by devotees. So similar examples we find in Bhagavatam. There was a demon named Kalayavana. So Kalayavana once was trying to catch Krishna. And if you see Kalayavana is a great demon. Kalayavana is very powerful. These demons, with all their power, with all their might, great kshatriyas, great military powers. Personally also they have great power, and they have great military powers also. So this Kalayavana was once trying to run after Krishna. Kalayavana, you can imagine, see, even when we run, imagine if we have to really run with full intensity. How do we run, with panting, with sweating, with our full force? If we run, the speed will be very high, right? Now, we are all Kali Yuga people, with our, fragile bodies, with limited speeds. But these kshatriyas of the, those yugas, and the demons of those yugas, they are much more powerful. They are much, much more fierce, and they are much more, strong. And Kalayavana, he was, at the best of his speed, at the best of his force, at the best of his, vigor to, chase Krishna, to catch Krishna. And he was sweating and panting, and he was, he was using his full force to run after Krishna to catch him. And how is, what is Krishna's response? Krishna was very cool. Krishna was smiling and he was peacefully walking. And he was peacefully he was walking, friend. And this person was, and it is explained that Krishna is just, millimeters ahead of him. Krishna is just, inches, millimeters, centimeters and inches ahead of Kalayavana. He was trying his best, but he could not reach Krishna. He could not even touch Krishna. He could not even get a single touch of Krishna, though he was applying all his force. Krishna is exhibiting what he is. And that same Krishna, when Mother Yashoda was chasing, now if you compare a elderly lady in Vrindavan, what can be her speed? What can be her maximum speed? What can be her, how much fierce can she be? How much, forcefully can she run after Krishna? Right? So, when Kalayavana was using all his, vigor and force to catch Krishna, Krishna said, "You cannot." Of course, the philosophical reason behind Kalayavana not catching Krishna is pure and Kalayavana is impure. He is a demon. So, demons cannot, one who is sinful cannot catch Krishna. So, sin cannot touch Krishna. With sinful mentality, one cannot, you know, go near Krishna. So, that is a philosophical understanding. And comparing Kalayavana with Mother Yashoda, Yashoda with her limited speed, with her whatever best she can run after Krishna, she could go and catch Krishna, right? So Krishna is same, but depending on who is approaching him, Krishna reveals accordingly. Krishna is the same, and Krishna is running in both cases. But Kalayavana could not even touch while he was bound by Mother Yashoda. Krishna agreed to be completely bound by Mother Yashoda. So, depending on how a devotee approaches Krishna, Krishna accordingly is perceived. That means what we are trying to see here is, in some cases, for some people, Krishna is exhibiting his greatness. You see how great I am. You cannot catch me. You cannot touch me. To those who don't have faith on him, Krishna is, or to those demoniac people, Krishna is exhibiting his greatness. And for those who are very dear to him, to those who are very intimate to him, Krishna is exhibiting his sweetness. So there is another pastime in which Krishna exhibited his greatness and sweetness both in Bhagavatam, and that is crushing the pride of Indra, lifting Govardhan Hill. So Indra became proud of his, or Indra got accustomed to the respect which he receives. So in order to teach him a lesson, because actually Indra is his devotee. Krishna does not want his devotees to become off track. Krishna does not want his devotees to become distracted or diverted. So Krishna thought, I will teach him a lesson. So when when Govardhan Puja was performed by Vrajavasis, so Indra showered very heavy rains on Vrajavasis to attack them. But Krishna said, I have to protect them. So when they requested Krishna for protection, then Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill. So you see, in the same pastime, Krishna exhibited his greatness as well as sweetness. It is explained, Indra, from the heaven, from the heavens, he thought, how dare these Vrajavasis, without surrendering to me, without hearing to what I say, they are worshipping Krishna and they are running after Krishna. They are doing what Krishna says. So it is said, Indra used the best of his powers. Indra used, the mightiest of the clouds, the Samvartaka, which are generally used during annihilation, to attack the Vrajavasis. So it was explained that every drop is like a, is like a big boulder, and the rain is not falling in like drops. The rain is falling in columns. The rain is falling like pillars. We have pillars here. This thick, pour of rain is there, which means Indra is using the best of his powers. So many thunderbolts and very fierce rains. But Krishna said, I want to show my greatness to Krishna. To Indra. So it is said that even though such an attack was taking place on Govardhan Hill, all the thunderbolts and all the raindrops and all the, not drops, that rain columns could not even budge one leaf from any of the trees of on top of Govardhan. It could not budge even a blade of grass on Govardhan. And Indra was watching all of it. What's happening here? The best of my powers are not able to displace even a grass on Govardhan Hill. And why is it? Because Krishna is holding it, with his hand, with his left hand's little finger, Krishna is holding it. And he thoroughly proved to Indra that, you can do nothing to me or to my devotees. You cannot touch them. You just cannot do anything for them. So Krishna showed that. So top, he showed his greatness. And below, what is happening? Below, he is showing his sweetness. Below, he is, you know, he is lifting the Govardhan hill. And all the friends of Krishna, they are thinking, oh, the, you know, Krishna's hand must be paining. You know, some of them thought we should massage Krishna's hand. Some of them felt that, no, actually we should support, like Madhumangal and all the Brahmanas. They felt that, no, we should support, you know, Krishna by some sticks. Actually, other friends thought we'll support through sticks. And Madhumangal thought, through my Brahma Tejas, I will hold Govardhan. And Krishna is exchanging, very sweet glances, very sweet smiles, and is playing his flute. And he is having a beautiful, you know, scene going on below the hill. While above is Indra, you know, who is suffering, you know, who is fed up, you know, using all his powers, could do nothing, you know, to attack Krishna, could do nothing to destroy devotees. So, the same pastime, above the hill, greatness, below the hill, sweetness, for people approaching him with different mentalities. Depending on the mentality, Krishna is exhibiting, you know, differently. So, accepting the existence of God, acknowledging the existence of God is the first step in approaching God. Because most people do not even have faith in God. Most people do not have faith that God exists. So after acknowledging his existence, one should first understand his greatness. Because only when one understands greatness, only when one understands God's greatness, then they can surrender to him. Then they can approach him. See, when somebody understands God's greatness, what is the benefit? Why should one understand God's greatness? Somebody may say, okay, I can directly understand Krishna's pastimes. I can directly understand, you know, all the sweet pastimes of Krishna, like the butter stealing pastimes and the you know, childhood pastimes with cows and all the Vrajavasis. Can one directly approach the intimate pastimes of Krishna without understanding his greatness? Srila Prabhupada has not recommended that. Srila Prabhupada has not very much encouraged somebody directly approaching, you know, very intimate pastimes of Krishna, especially the rasa dance with the gopis. Before one understands the rasa lila, one should understand the Kurukshetra lila, where Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna establishes his greatness. Why should a practitioner, why should a sadhaka understand Krishna's greatness? Because understanding Krishna's greatness, first of all, brings respect to Krishna. This person whom I am dealing with is not an ordinary person. This person about whose leelas we are reading or hearing, he is not an ordinary person. He is that person from whom everything is emanating. He is that person from whom everything is coming. And he is that person who is the, you know, creator, maintainer and destroyer. He is that person who is beyond modes. He is that person who has killed all the demons. Who is that person whom the greatest of the demons could do nothing. So understanding Krishna's greatness, first of all, brings respect to the hearer. Now if respect is developed towards somebody, immediately, you know, a sense of obedience is formed towards that person. So if we respect God's greatness, one will want to be obedient to his laws. One will want to be obedient because he is the supreme person, and if he has given some instructions to follow, then we have to follow that. So obedience will help one to follow Krishna's instructions, which will eventually form the platform for advancement in bhakti, which will form the platform for advancement in Krishna consciousness. So that is why one should first accept God's greatness. So there are some benefits of, you know, accepting God's greatness. So first, as we saw, it will help us to develop respect for Krishna. If respect is formed, obedience is formed. If obedience is formed, then one can follow the instructions given by Krishna. Secondly, if we accept God's greatness, in front of God's greatness, our greatness is very insignificant. I mean, our powers, our strength, and our opulences are very insignificant. So understanding God's greatness can help us to become humble. Understanding God's greatness can help us to give up pride and develop humility. And also understanding God's greatness will help us to not take Him cheaply. Because if we directly enter Krishna's pastimes, if we directly, you know, study Krishna's sweet pastimes, without knowing Krishna's greatness, then one may take these pastimes cheaply. Oh, I also steal. You know, in my childhood, I also stole. You know, I also copied. And I also played with my mother and father. And here Krishna is also, you know, playing with his mother and father and cows. What's so great about it? What big deal about it? So, without understanding God's greatness, Krishna's greatness, somebody may take his pastimes very cheaply, right? There was once an old man who came to one of our temples, and that was Janmashtami time. It was days before Janmashtami. So, Janmashtami, a big poster was kept with, you know, the Makanchor Krishna, that photo is there. So an old man who came, who saw that, and he started crying. And you know, one devotee thought, maybe this person has great love for Krishna. So he asked, what makes you cry? You know, what happened, you know? Then he said, actually my grandson also exactly looks like this. And my grandson also exactly does this kind of activities. So thinking of my grandson, you know, he's having tears in his eyes, which means, Seeing Krishna's childhood photo, he is taking him like his grandson. But where is any ordinary grandson, and where is Krishna, right? What is Krishna's position, and what is any ordinary human being's position? So that is why Krishna's greatness should be understood first, in order to appreciate his pastimes on the proper spiritual platform. So, by accepting Krishna's greatness, by understanding Krishna's greatness, when someone follows the process of sadhana bhakti, then gradually advancement takes place. Then gradually spiritual progress takes place. And when such progress takes place, then at an advanced platform, then one comes to the stage of intimacy. Then one comes to the stage of accepting, entering into very intimate pastimes with Krishna. So in the initial stages of bhakti, one should not artificially imagine that I am very dear to Krishna, or I am very close with Krishna, or I am very intimate with Krishna. We are all in conditioned state. We are all, you know, Vaidhi sadhakas. And, you know, knowing that, you know, Krishna is master, knowing that Krishna is God, we have to follow the process given by Him, and then gradually spiritual advancement will take place. That's why you see Sri Chaitanya Shikshashtakam, 5th Shloka says, Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram Patitam Maam Vishame Bhavam Budau. You see, in this Shloka, how is Krishna addressed as? Krishna is addressed in a very intimate manner. How is he, what is the address given to Krishna? Nanda Tanuja. You know, it's a very intimate address. Okay, Krishna, you are Nanda Tanuja, but who am I? Kinkaram. So even though a very intimate address is given to Krishna, but one's position is given as Kinkara only. One's position is not given as, I am your friend, no, I am your, you know, very dear associate. It doesn't say that. Ainanda Tanuja, though the address is very intimate, but one's position is kept as Kinkara only. I am servant. So, in this way, understanding God's greatness and thus developing respect for Him can give us impetus to follow Krishna's instructions and advance in spiritual life. So now the shloka, the context that we are seeing, Vasudev addressing Krishna like this, though knowing Krishna's position as God. But so here we can see Vasudeva's intimacy, you know, Vasudeva is intimate with Krishna. That's why he's fearful about Krishna. Krishna, Kamsa may do something for you. This is not that he does not have faith on Krishna's greatness, but that love is impelling him to develop concern for Krishna. So this is indicative of Krishna's love, of Vasudeva's love for Krishna. Now if you see, even more advanced devotees are there in Vrindavan. Now Vasudeva is fearful that Kamsa may do something for you. But what is the platform of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda? In the Damodar Lila we see, when Balramji says that, here, Vasudeva is telling that, in the past you have appeared as all the incarnations, right? But when the same thing is told by Balaram to Yashoda, when Balramji tells in the Damodar Lila, oh, Mata Yashoda, why are you binding Krishna? Don't you understand? Who this person is? In the past, he is Rama, he is Parashurama, he is, Vamana, he is Narasimha, and all the list. When Balramji said, Mother Yashoda does not offer no respects to him, saying that, you are God and I bow down to you. Mother Yashoda reprimands Balram, saying that, all the incarnations have no other work. They all have to take birth in my home only, get lost. So Yashoda, Vasudeva is intimate with Krishna. And if you see Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they are even more intimate with Krishna. So they don't care about Krishna's greatness. They are only concerned about protecting Krishna. They are concerned about, saving Krishna, feeding Krishna, bathing Krishna. So that is a very advanced state of Vrajavasis. So in the purport, Prabhupada is mentioning about how uncivilized men, they are against Brahminical culture, and hence they create trouble for Brahmanas, cows, women, children and old people. So, and very interestingly, in the purport, Prabhupada mentions about Hare Krishna land, right? How, when we are trying to preach Krishna consciousness in, Hare Krishna land, many uncivilized men are creating obstacles. Such uncivilized activities were actually demonstrated in opposition to the Hare Krishna movement's Bombay center, Hare Krishna land, right? So it's recorded in the pages of Bhagavatam, Hare Krishna land, Jihu. And saying, as we know, during the times of Prabhupada, many people have tried to create disturbances for the great preaching mission which Prabhupada was trying to do here. Prabhupada is trying to do here. So, in one of the purports, in these series only, Prabhupada writes that Krishna has appeared in Kali Yuga as the Hare Krishna movement. Krishna has appeared in Kali Yuga as ISKCON, right? So, as much as Vasudeva is concerned about Krishna's protection, acharyas and pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada and their followers, they are concerned about protection of Krishna, who has now appeared in the form of ISKCON. So now, what is the baby in front of all of us? How did baby Krishna appear in front of all of us? In the form of ISKCON. So, and Prabhupada is himself writing that, you see. Similarly, although the Krishna consciousness movement and Krishna are not different and no asuras can check it, we are afraid. Prabhupada is, referring about, himself and all the devotees in ISKCON. We are afraid that at any moment, the asuras can stop this movement in any part of the world. Now, can any demon do any harm for Krishna? Can any demon in reality harm Krishna? No. But pure devotees like Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj and Vrajavasis, they are always worried that Krishna should not be harmed. Krishna should be protected. In the same manner, ISKCON, or the propagation of Sankirtan movement as enunciated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is his desire, is Lord Chaitanya's desire, is Krishna's desire, who is the Supreme Lord. So can anything happen to the propagation of Sankirtan movement? Can anything happen to, the spreading of Hare Krishna? Nobody can check it. Prabhupada is writing here. One statement is there where he says nobody can check it. Yeah, we just now read it. So Prabhupada says that nobody can check it. So nothing can happen to our movement. Sometimes big obstacles come. Sometimes, some time back there was this TV interview which was opposing, preaching of Krishna consciousness. Other sometimes varieties of troubles can come. Anti-preachers, non-supporters, they create obstacles. But the propagation of Krishna consciousness movement can never be checked. Why? Because it is Krishna's desire. It is Krishna's personal desire, and the movement, is Krishna's manifestation in Kali Yuga. So even though the movement cannot be checked, but pure devotees like Prabhupada and the followers of Prabhupada, they are concerned about it. So right here in Juhu, all of us are aware of how much struggle, Prabhupada went through, in dealing with Mr. N, and, handling the tough opposition caused by him, difficulties caused by him. Prabhupada took so much of anxiety, Prabhupada took so much of, concern, and was the movement checked, or was the movement progress? Did the movement progress? The movement progressed. N was cleared off by Narasimhadev, and path was cleared by Krishna. So nothing will happen to Hare Krishna movement. But pure devotees always are concerned to save the movement. So following in the footsteps of Prabhupada, all the followers of Prabhupada also should contribute to whatever best they can do. And whenever difficulties are there, whenever opposition is there, trying to help the movement, trying to help the propagation of Krishna consciousness in whatever way possible. In this way, one will achieve the mercy of all the parampara Srila Prabhupada, and thus go back to Godhead. So Vasudev loves Krishna, and Vasudev wants to protect Krishna. Prabhupada loves Krishna, and Prabhupada wants to protect Krishna in the form of ISKCON. And all the followers of Prabhupada also should endeavor to protect ISKCON and the preaching mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.